They're going to allow 8 minutes to answer each question. That way, everybody will have a chance to ask questions. So if any answers need to be longer than that, we've concluded to answer them in fellowship or talk more about them after the half hour, maybe at dinner time. And turn it over to the panel.
Over to me. I thought he was going to ask the question. And okay.
Turned it over to you, brother.
Okay. Fine.
Oh, wait, just a minute. Oh. You're going to field the questions. You will field the questions.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, Brother Stan.
Brothers.
Brother Dennis is going to.
Who will answer?
Why not Brother Quirkus? We'll let the panel handle it.
Brother,
okay.
We're ready for the first.
Okay. My question is, do we know from the scriptures why the four winds are not let loose until after the saints are sealed in their foreheads?
Seven.
Okay. Do you want to start, Brother Jim?
Not really.
Revelation 7? Okay.
Yeah, let's get it.
Brother Stan?
7:3, huh?
Brother Stan?
Okay, Brother Don?
I would kind of answer with the theme text of Psalm 25:7. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me upon a rock. And I'm thinking that what happened for the brethren before the trouble came on the nations was the same thing that we appreciate now, that gives us peace in the world's anarchy phase that they're in right now, is we know that the results of it will bring in the kingdom. We already know that the Lord's in full control, and we know that we shouldn't be part of the social order, and we shouldn't be out there doing reforming work in the world. And why do we know those things? Is because of the message of the pastor in harvest time. There is a time and season for every purpose given under heaven, and I think it's the intellectual knowledge of the truth that keeps one safe. Just as in our own personal experiences, our Heavenly Father's exceeding great and precious promises are a comfort to us and keep us safe. It's the knowledge that was necessary there for the brethren's peace and protection.
Okay, thank you. Did I get the question correctly that it was how do we know from the scriptures that the saints would be sealed before the time of trouble or before the four winds were let loose?
Do we have any scriptures which would tell us why the Lord holds back the four winds until that he does not let loose the four winds until after the saints are sealed in their foreheads? Why does he wait until the saints are sealed in the foreheads before he lets go the four winds? And do we have a scripture which would give us some understanding for that?
I see, okay. That clarifies it a little.
Brother Stanley.
Go ahead.
I think, in my mind, Revelation 18:2-4 helps me, where it says, "Come out of her, my people," and that the latter part of that is so that you shall not receive of her sins and partake of her plagues. And that's why the Lord's people needed to hear the message, come out of her, my people, and behold the bridegroom. So that when the four winds were loosed, and associated with that, the plagues would be one by one poured into the air, that the Lord's people would not be in that system, because the four winds were loosed upon Christendom, or Babylon, mystic Babylon, and he didn't want the elect to get burned. And that's what we see on the chart, the S, the living members of the little flock, have separated themselves. The shaded area shows trouble. I associate that with plagues, as well as the loosing of the four winds, so that when the four winds were loosed, I believe, in 1881, by 1914, when they come from the four corners of the earth in this symbol, that they smack right in the middle at 1914, and you have the great time of trouble upon that system and the world, world war. And so he didn't want the true saints of God to be in that situation, but to be apart from that. That would be my answer, and using Revelation 18:2-4. Be my best guess.
Thank you. In Revelation 9:4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months and so forth. But to our minds, they weren't to hurt the earth or the trees until the saints were sealed in their forehead, until they had this complete knowledge that would allow them to make their calling and election sure before the destruction came, you see, because he was going to destroy all of the systems. So they would have to have this knowledge so that they could make themselves make their calling and election sure. So before the systems were all destroyed, because the new order had to come in afterwards. You see, I don't know whether that adds anything or not, Brother Don.
Yeah, I had one thought. Brother Russell goes over the Ephesians 6:13 of wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And I remember Brother Russell mentioned that prior to the harvest period, the shield of faith was what the brethren had all throughout the Dark Ages. See, without faith it is impossible to please God. But once the harvest time came for the separating work to occur and everything, at that time, that was the evil day, even though it was the beginning of the millennial day, or the seventh day. At that period of time, because of everything that was happening, you needed to have on the whole armor of God to be able to stand. And it would be that intellectual sealing in the foreheads of the brethren then that would permit them to put on that whole armor.
Okay. I don't know whether that gives any satisfaction to the Brother Mitchell.
I have a scripture, but I don't know what they might think of.
Well, would you submit it, please?
I exhort, therefore, this is the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It would indicate to me that in order for the saints to be able to meet, and study and have conventions, that the Lord told us that we should pray that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life so that we could grow and develop and attain this the ceiling in our foreheads and a crystallized character so that this work could go on. And it gives me the impression that this work could not go on if we had the four winds let loose, because then it would be too late for the saints to do any more sealing.
Okay, thank you. I think that's the similar thought that we presented, that they would have to be in a position to make their calling and election sure, because they wouldn't be able to do it afterwards under the destructive phase of the four winds. Any further thought, anyone? Well, I guess we're going to have to move on if we hold to the 8 minutes.
Okay, I want to ask a question. I'm not sure how to present this, but it's because it will be according to my understanding of the divine plan. Now, it's my understanding that that Christendom would go down in anarchy. And it's my understanding also that the pastor thought and taught at one time that this would take place by 1914, and that this would all be done. And then later on, he realized that it wasn't going to be that way, and so he said the anarchy would take place after 1914, but it was still the fate of Christendom. So my question then is, I need somebody to harmonize if Christendom is gone. Did they have their anarchy? Is the anarchy over? Or I just need some more information on that. I tried to get it out. If I didn't get it out clear, we'll have to talk about it later.
Okay. We thought the questions would be on the call, the chosen and faithful, but nevertheless, we will make an attempt.
I apologize. You're right. They should be on the subject that was
prepared. That's what we anticipated.
Forget everything I said, and I'm sorry I took up the time.
Did you want to?
No, it was a good question.
But I think that was the intent. And maybe this could be discussed during the fellowship period.
That's fine. I apologize.
Well, we accept the apology. But maybe during the fellowship period we can discuss that a little more. Any further questions? Sister Riddell.
Yes, I don't know if I can make my question clear either, but I'm a little confused on the comment on the ceiling. My understanding is that the church, the end of the age, had to have a harvest message or an intellectual head ceiling to even develop the character that they needed, and that character could even be reached and still a failing. So I think the scripture that was asked a question on about the four winds, from my understanding of reading, is that sort of goes along, the ceiling goes along with the final church being faithful, going beyond the veil, or when the salt leaves the earth. I also feel that the anarchy would take place at that particular time. I'm a little confused at what was said about the ceiling of the 144,000, even though I know the general call ceased. Maybe I didn't understand it, but like I said, you might not understand my question, but I'm having a little trouble with, because I see the head ceiling in two senses. We had to have a head ceiling to even try to make our calling, but we also had to have a ceiling to go beyond the veil. And I see the ceiling of the saints in our forehead before the time, great time of trouble, going beyond the veil. Do I make myself clear or not? My question.
Well, there's also a ceiling of the Holy Spirit, too.
Yes, I understand that. I didn't think
you're speaking of the ceiling of knowledge in the forehead, and that this
right.
would be done before what? Going beyond the veil? That would naturally be so.
I think I'll just skip my question, too. I can't make it clear.
Did anyone here get want to offer a comment?
I'll just offer a comment. Remember that the parallels follow the nominal systems to their destruction. That's what this all is all about. The loosening of the four winds is to destroy the nominal system. Now, if the four winds aren't loose, then we're still waiting for Christendom to fall. I don't believe that, brethren, and the scriptures do not support that, nor does the reality of it. 1914 comes. The kings are gone. Brother Russell says in his later writings, 1915, that the winds were already loosed earlier. And that when the dragon, or the civil part of the three-part system, the city is in three parts, ecclesiastical, civil, and social. And when the social, or the dragon, or the civil part, which is the dragon, no longer supports the ecclesiastical, Babylon has fallen. It's done over kaput. It's the nominal system that's gone, and we must extract from that the glorification of the church. That was, again, Brother Russell's expectation, and many of his writings indicated that he thought the church would be gone before 1914, and all these things would come to pass right as clockwork. But he said, our mistake was, we were looking at things that dealt with the true, not with the nominal, and we had them amalgamated or associated together. So, brethren, that's my answer. We must see the reality of the war in 1914 was at the result of the plagues having been poured out, the winds loosed, turned into the whirlwind. 1917, as a result of all this, you had the great earthquake, and now we're in anarchy. World on fire. There was the wind, the earthquake, the fire. We're in the fire. I'm not waiting for the fire. We're in the fire. And I have this understanding, and I am thanking my Heavenly Father for it. And I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that is keeping me in the narrow way and away from harm.
Okay. Does anybody have any further comment? Maybe there's a problem with respect to fall or complete destruction or elimination. Is that part of the thought? Is that enter into it at all?
I evidently can't ask the question because nothing that was just said answered what my question is in my head. So. Maybe just talk to you later about it. I don't want to hold up the questioning.
Because in our own minds, we'll just add this and let it be. And the fall, we differentiate between a complete destruction or elimination. Babylon is fallen, and has become the habitation of all these foul birds and so forth. So they were fallen, but still they became the habitation of these creatures. You see? So, in our minds, we differentiate the fall from the complete destruction. Because when a complete destruction comes, everything will give way to the kingdom. Everything. I mean, whether it's religious or whether it's civil or whether it's human, any kind of an organization, then the kingdom is going to take place and everything will be, all man made systems will give way to the Lord's kingdom. So I don't know whether that's of any help or...
My question was on the ceiling, I'm sorry. I just didn't get that right.
Okay, we have time for one more question, I think, Sister Eleanor.
I'll be the same.
Oh, I'm sorry, was there somebody back there?
It was
Brother Stan, in
Matthew 20:16 and also Matthew 22:14. I'll quote 20:16. He says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." And I know you were talking about chosen as being accepted. And I just wanted to make sure that is this scripture referring to being accepted? Many are called, but few are chosen or accepted. Is that the correct thought? Because ever since I've come into truth, I've heard, or at least it's been in my mind both ways, that it's been accepted as the consecration has been accepted. That's what chosen is referring to. And also, beyond the veil. Many are called, but few are chosen. The thought is being faithful, you know, being faithful beyond the veil.
Oh, okay. Brother Don.
Go ahead. We were just thinking about, when we look at the N, M, P, and Q class on the chart, I believe what the scripture Matthew 20:16 is referring to is, see, the call went out to those, especially of the P class there, where there were millions of them there during the gospel age, but few of them went on to a consecration which would permit them to be chosen. See, not very many of them presented themselves to be chosen, even though they were called. That was the purpose of them being in that position during that period of time. And I believe that's what it represents.
You were speaking of the P class?
Yeah, the ones who were tentatively justified, who were approaching God, but who had not actually went on to consecration. See, many were called, but few were chosen. Remember, during the gospel age, there wasn't a limitation like after 1881. There, if they presented themselves, there was a crown available, and they would be chosen. Just sort of a matter, of course, of the process. Proper consecration, Lord applies His merit, they're acceptable to the Father, and Spirit begotten are chosen at that period of time. Many were there with that available to them, but very few were chosen because they didn't present themselves.
Chosen would have the same indication,
yeah, same.
At any time. In other words, they would have to be accepted or Spirit begotten. But I think the thought was that the call went out to many, and I think Brother Russell mentioned millions in some places, mm-hmm. something like 400 or something. And it was a great number. But the thought of chosen means that one is running for the prize of the high calling with a crown available. But the called ones are the ones who are justified in a tentative sense by faith. But that would be our understanding.
Okay, dear brethren, I have another question. I want to apologize again for getting off. This was on the question earlier, I think it was Brother Gorkas asked, is the great company
of the elect.
Of the elect, yeah. And I didn't, you know, I heard different ones in the audience making their own judgments before the panel answered, and they were opposite. And I had an opposite thought. And my thinking, and I didn't really hear the reasoning behind it, so I just wanted to give mine and see if it's incorrect. Whenever each one is called and they become the elect and go into the hall and come under the anointing, now I've considered that to be God's elect. So in that sense, I didn't understand how the answer was that they're not of God's elect. Were you looking at it from like a future standpoint?
No, or maybe you didn't get the thought that it was the great company. Are they of the elect? That was the thought.
Well, you're right. They're not the company until they're expelled from the holy. Is that your thought?
When they lose the crown or don't gain the crown, let's put it that way, or they lose their anointing, which is a position in the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is composed of only 144,000 of the elect that are faithful. You see, the elect are all of those who are running with crowns.
Okay, I see.
You see, the great company does not have a crown.
They don't get a crown.
So they lose their anointing, they lose their position in the elect, in the body of Christ. I think that was the thought, was it not? Okay, Brother Don.
Yeah, I'm gonna mention this just because My mind is very fuzzy on this thing, but I sort of remembered Brother Russell mentioning the elect and the very elect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you have to study it out, but I believe maybe that's what he said. Now, all it would be determined is our definition of elect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if the elect are the spirit begotten, there's going to be two different classes, the great company and the little flock. And if, fuzzy, take that in consideration. But I believe Brother Russell made a distinction.
The very elect are the ones who made the grade. They are the ones who are faithful in this call, chosen and faithful. The very elect are those who are going to be with the Lord in glory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The very elect. Mm-hmm. That's our understanding of it. Brother Jim, you had a...
No, I'll yield to that until further study. But the general consensus in my mind is that you're not... it's always towards the very elect. Now, Brother Russell may have made that statement, and I would have no quarrel with it.
Yeah. I have a lot of references here if you want to consider the elect and so forth with respect to the great company. There are many, many references.
The definition from the concordance, I think, on chosen... The definition on the... The panel gave from the concordance, I think, on chosen, wasn't it elected? And that was each one that received a spirit begettal, and that's sort of the way I was looking and realizing later there would be a division of very elect and elect. So
one could lose his position in the elect. See, the great company initially had to be of the elect to lose the position.
Yeah.
At the point, they lose their anointing, I think Brother Russell puts it in that term, so they lose their, because we're anointed into the body of Christ, so we lose, the great company loses that anointing, so they lose the crown, and they lose the position in the elect, because all of this is this side the veil. It isn't until they are proven faithful that we go to the other side the veil, or that they are the very elect, those that are actually going into glory.
Thank you.
Sister Bai.
I may be wrong in my thoughts on this, but this is on the sealing. When Brother Russell was dealing with the sealing in the third volume, he's dealing with it on page 165, page 211. And then also on page 195, he said that this sealing. The proclamation of the bridegroom's presence, the going forth to meet him and the entering in with him to the marriage still continues and will continue till all the wise virgins are sealed in their foreheads with a knowledge of harvest truth sufficient to separate them from Babylon. Mm-hmm. I always felt that Brother Russell there, in his talking about sealing, before the four winds were loosened, where those that were coming out of Babylon had to learn the truth. Because they didn't have the knowledge of the truth, they had to learn the truth before the four winds were loosened, because then there would be the destruction of the system, and they had to learn the truth to be sealed to get and leave Babylon in order to make their calling election sure. But because we know that he says many times, one page is 57:15, that the four winds were loosened. I looked at the sealing there as... Those he was talking about those that were to get out of Babylon. They're the ones that had to be sealed. Well, we know even the replacements have to be sealed, but he's not. The replacements were not. Most of them, they came from the world. They did not come from Babylon. I mean, after 1881, any replacements came from the world, because they 1878 they were cast off. The systems were cast off, and from then on, they were considered part of the world. So any replacements came from the world, and they had to be sealed, but they were... I didn't look at what I get from what Brother Russell says in this sealing. He's talking about those coming out of Babylon had to be sealed with the truth so they could make their calling election sure. And we know that he says over and over after World War I, and I can give many page references here, I have them all here, that the four winds were loosened. So he had to be talking about those that were in Babylon before the destruction of Babylon, that they could be sealed, because after that there was no more dealing Well, there was no more dealing with them anyway, but there were, but any that didn't come up by 1914, they went in, they went into second death. Page reprint 4036, he says, any that did not come up when the time of trouble began, they went into second death.
I think the panel did consider that and mention that fact. But, and I think that the panel also considered the fact that all the called, chosen, and faithful would be sealed in their foreheads. So there is both of these sealings that are considered.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yes.
I just wonder if I was wrong. Wrong in my thinking that Brother Russell, in that dealing, it was mainly those that came out of the out of Babylon did not have the truth, and they had to be sealed with this truth in order to make their calling election sure. And as far as the replacements, when they come into the truth, they know the truth. I mean, when they're accepted as a replacement, they already know the truth. And then they're sealed. You know, they don't know all the truth, but I mean, they have to know enough to be able to be a replacement.
Well, that brings up another thought, because I think we considered the replacement, did we not? When we considered the chronology. And the spirit begettal, correct me if I'm wrong, the spirit begettal was the deciding factor in the replacement. One made a consecration, but he made a consecration to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Then the spirit begettal was indicated by what you're saying. It had to be two evidences of that. One was there's an opportunity for sacrifice, and the other was that they had a knowledge of the spiritual things. That's what, with regard to the placement. And he says after 1881, that was the evidence.
Well, what I was trying to do was clear up the thought on sealing, that that we're not still waiting for the sealing to be done. Like I got the impression from some, from my what I read, I did not think we're waiting for the sealing to be finished before the four winds were loosened, as Brother Russell said they were loosened. I looked at it as that, I mean, I've gotten this from some of the expressions from some of the brethren, and I just wondered if others agreed or with it, if I'm getting the wrong thought from what Brother Russell said, because I always thought that he was talking about those coming out of Babylon had to be sealed, and the four winds were loosened, and the replacements weren't considered in that, even though we know they have to be sealed, they have to know the truth, and they have to be sealed too. But for Revelation 7 and 3, I always looked at that as referring to those in Babylon and coming out of Babylon. So we're not waiting on that to be fulfilled.
Oh.
That has been fulfilled. The four winds are loosened, even though the replacements are being sealed and continue until the last one goes beyond the veil.
Oh, yes. The harvest was for the separation. Mm-hmm. So that had to be accomplished. The separation had to be accomplished. See, the harvest, well, maybe I'm taking this. Can anybody else clarify what Sister Vias?
Brethren, we're past our time, and
it doesn't meet.
We're gonna have to wrap it up here.
Sorry.
Lord's a strict timekeeper. We should observe that. We're 5 minutes past the time. We can discuss these things in our fellowship at dinner time, I'm sure, and we'll have Brother Stan close this meeting with a prayer and ask a blessing upon the dinner.